This podcast was produced on the lands of the Kabi Kabi people. We pay respects to elders past, present, and emerging and thank them for how they have lovingly cared for and preserved the land, natural resources, and bush medicine in which we are inspired by today. And welcome to the Students of Natural Health podcast. My name is Dana Laura. I'm a student naturopath from Australia, and I'm going to be your host for this episode. Now, joining me on today's episode is no one. I'm sorry if I sound a little bit more quiet than usual. This is my episode, so I get to run it how I want. I'm currently live to you at my kid's bedtime, and I'm just trying to record this one in of a nighttime. I never do this with other people, but you know, you've been listening to me for about a year now, and I realized that you don't actually know that much about me. So for the first birthday episode, I thought I would let you in on my life a little bit and tell you about how I came to naturopathy and some of my personal tips and tricks that I've picked up along the way of my first year of study. And if this is something that you guys really enjoy, maybe I'll just keep doing this for, you know, the first birthday episodes. I was thinking it would be really cool if I could give a little recap as to how I went that year, and, you know, you would be able to follow the journey of a student from first year naturopathy all the way through. So yeah, let's get into it. For those of you that aren't following me on my socials and have just happened to stumble across the podcast, my name is Dana Laura, but in my personal life, I'm known as D. I'm just wrapping up my first year of study at Torrens University, where I am studying the naturopathy degree. I've sort of done things a little bit differently, where I'm doing the diploma first, but I've said it before on the podcast, it's purely just to get the alumni scholarship, where I'll be able to get a discount on my fees and go straight into my second year of the Bachelor of Health Science majoring in naturopathy. So it's pretty exciting. I'm also a stay-at-home mum of two toddler boys. I started studying when my youngest turned one, and delusional me in my first term of studying at university decided I wanted to start a podcast. So I've also been doing this the whole time I've been studying. So it's been really incredible. I've met some amazing people, and I would love to use this opportunity to say thank you so, so much to anybody who's listened, anybody who's shared the podcast, every single person I've interviewed, and anybody that has taken the time to send me those beautiful, beautiful messages telling me about how the podcast has affected you personally, how it's influenced your studies, and how you've been able to meet new people through it. It's honestly far exceeded my expectations for what I had originally designed for this podcast. It was born out of a lack of real student experiences that I could find online when I was researching which degree to do and which university to go to, because, you know, it's a lot of money to spend on a natural health degree. I wanted to know a little bit about the content, because I'm sure some of you guys also realized that it was a little bit, there's a degree of woo about it, a degree of not sure if it's legit. So yeah, that's why the podcast was born. I'm going to jump into how I got into natural health. And it's a bit of a story. I've mentioned it when I've been interviewed before, but it's never been spoken about on this medium. And I think it belongs here. So this is how I got into it. Look, when I was a kid, I thought I was going to be a doctor, a very, very little kid. And somewhere along the way that evolved into, I thought I was going to be an actress, and I thought I was going to be a singer, and I thought I was going to be on the TV. And, you know, I thought I was going to be doing something in the arts because I'm quite artistic. And straight out of school, I had discovered my love of film and television. And I enrolled at university and decided I was going to be a director. And I loved camera. I loved film. I loved cinematography. And I loved the really weird art house sort of stuff. So this was straight out of high school, my first time being at uni. Spoiler alert, it's taken me four goes to get to where I am now. So buckle up. I started my film and TV. And at the time, I had a pretty serious boyfriend and wanted to move out. I think that's like my number one goal, was to just my whole life is just to be independent and move out and have my own place. I just was so in love with that thought of, yeah, creating my own little space on this planet. And I still am. I really love it. That drives a lot of what I do today. But I realized that my film and TV didn't quite align with that goal at the time, you know, having an arts degree and trying to make it in the business, that takes years and years. And I didn't want that. I wanted my house and my boyfriend right now. So I left uni and I decided I was going to get a real job that was going to be able to, you know, fund that dream. You know, I had a couple of little jobs in the interim, like hospitality. I did a bit of retail, all that sort of fun stuff. But I jumped in and I started doing hairdressing and I wanted to do a trade. I wanted to get a quote unquote real job that was going to sustain me while I figured out what exactly it was that I wanted to do in this life and also, you know, provide me the opportunity to move out. But it was interesting because just before I started my hairdressing, I had this thought that I really wanted to be a midwife. I didn't want to jump straight into university again because I just left and that's a pretty expensive way to figure out what you want to do. But I always was really curious about women's bodies, very, very curious about the mysteries of pregnancy and growing babies and how the body shape shifts and adapts. It was like back then as a 17, 18-year-old, it was mind-blowing to me. It still is, but you know, just a little sprinkle of what was to come. So I started my hairdressing career. Those people that know me and are listening to this episode are giggling as we think about how many times I fried all my hair off. I had a pink salmon bowl cut at one point. I've had blue hair, all of it. So it would surprise no one that hairdressing was something that I was going to do at some point in this life. Honestly, it was an absolutely fantastic opportunity for me to, one, just take a breather and have a think about what I want. Two, learn how to have some people skills. It was incredible interviewing people every day in my chair about, you know, their life and their job. And, you know, of course, what do you want with your hair done? But it taught me really valuable skills and how to make people feel really comfortable in small talk. Working in a natural health field and interviewing people about quite personal aspects of their life, having the ability to make somebody feel comfortable and safe with you was something that I can see now, was something that I learned back then, and it's really valuable now. Hairdressing was also a great opportunity because I was talking to so many women who were pregnant, and I was talking to a lot of midwives and nurses, and I was able to get little glimpses into what it was like. And I fell in love with the idea of becoming a midwife to the point that I'd actually made it a piece of my personality. Like I was in every single moment of my spare time watching documentaries, listening to podcasts, specifically like the Midwife Cauldron podcasts, making a midwife podcast. I was listening to so many podcasts. I was reading like biographies and bibliographies. I was reading all of the spiritual midwifery books. I was reading even, I managed to get my hands on some midwifery textbooks at the op shops and I was reading those. Like I was obsessed with becoming a midwife, but I was in a circumstance where I felt like, you know, this is something I'm going to do after I have my children and I want to finish my hairdressing because I haven't completed something yet and I need to show myself that I can do it.
You're listening to Students of Natural Health Podcast. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor.
Do you ever feel like no matter how hard you study, you're still behind and also feeling majorly stressed out? Maybe you're drowning in your notes, feeling overwhelmed by the mountain of content being thrown your way, and even second-guessing if you'll be able to finish your degree. Hi, I'm Olivia, a naturopath and ultra-organized type A overachiever. My passion is helping students like you succeed in your studies without the stress. You were probably never taught how to actually study, and that's why I created Study for Success, a space to help students understand the strategy behind studying efficiently and successfully. In my space, you learn how to simplify the study process, actually retain what you learn, and most of all save time with my unique organizational framework. So if you want to learn how to study smarter, not harder, reduce stress, and set yourself up for success from first year right through to being a new grad, check out my free Study for Success Masterclass. Plus, I have a range of practical study resources designed specifically for NatMed students, available on my website. Check out the links in the description below, and here's to studying for success without the stress.
Thanks for listening. On with the show.
So, like I said, I'd made it a pretty core pillar of my personality, and I'd invested, I'm going to say, thousands of hours into learning the craft of midwifery and the history of women and little bits and pieces of nursing as well in there. And I was like, this is it. This is why I was put on this earth. I'm here to be a midwife. So the next logical step in that plan was my boyfriend then proposed to me, and that was the green light for me. I was like, let's have a baby. So we started trying. I was actually 19 at this point. We started trying for a baby in my last year of my apprenticeship, and I'd had some issues with trying to conceive, and I'd had a lot of issues with bleeding for very prolonged periods of time. And I started to dabble a little bit in natural medicine. And to be honest, I wish I kept up with it, because I truly, was when I was introduced to naturopathy. I sought help for regulating my bleeding, which may be a little bit too much information. I'm so sorry if it is for some of you, but for context, I was bleeding every single day for a year. I had anemia, and it felt like it was ruining my life as a young woman who, you know, trying to have a baby and couldn't stop bleeding and was spending all of her money on sanitary products and was so tired all the time, because like literally every single day for a year I was bleeding. So I went and saw a naturopath after, you know, having some not great issues with my GP. You know, they wanted to put me on, you know, the pill or the Implanon and the Depo-Provera shot. And I tried a few of those things and they really messed with my hormones. And honestly, it just felt like a bit of a band-aid approach. So, you know, I started looking at, like, you know, curing women's issues and all this sort of stuff. And a naturopath popped up on the internet. So I went, and she was amazing. She cured my bleeding in one visit with all of these supplements. I'm not going to lie, it was pretty intense at that point, because I spent like $900 on, you know, the consult and all the supplements combined, and, you know, on an apprentice wage as a hairdresser, that's a lot of money. So yeah. And she fixed it. I only saw her once, and I will never find her again. And I miss her. If you were out there. That was my first interaction with natural medicine. And then I continued trying to conceive naturally. Nothing was happening. About a year and a half passed, and I was talking to my GP about it, who linked me in with the fertility specialist, who ran some blood work and, you know, sat us down in the office. And at this point, I'm 21 years old. And they said to me, if you had come in 6 months later, we wouldn't be using your eggs, because you have very, very low reserves and you're going to go on menopause in the next couple of years. And I was 21 years old, and it was absolutely devastating. And she said, there's not really much time to wait. We need to jump onto IVF. No time to explore any other options. Just jump straight into it. I'm freaking out. I'm 21 and I'm going, oh my gosh, this is my only chance to have a baby. I don't even know what I'm getting into, but yep, sign me up. So that same day that I got told that, we signed up for our first round of IVF, and my husband and I, we decided to get a loan, and we've only recently just finished paying that off, because we did two rounds of IVF and it didn't work for us. And it was absolutely devastating. For those of you who don't know, like, it's sort of difficult to explain what that's like to people that haven't gone through it, but the mental and emotional and physical strain on your body, that process is, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. But I'm in a place now where I can look back on my life and I can go, I can see where that's going to serve me later in life, because that, you know, really ignited a passion for women's health within me, and fertility and women's health education around concepts like contraception, you know, birth control, fertility, optimizing your fertility, eating correctly, and particularly in that young women's age bracket. It would have been invaluable for me personally to have somebody say, hang on, there might be another alternative here than jumping straight into IVF, Or maybe we should consider getting your body into an optimal state before we jump straight into IVF, because we did two rounds of IVF and they failed. And, I kind of got to a point where I'd fallen into quite a depression and I sort of said, enough is enough. I can't do this anymore. So I finished my hairdressing apprenticeship and I enrolled to do nursing because I figured, well, I can't wait for the rest of my life for a baby. It might not never happen for me, and I have to accept that. I have to start doing things that I can control. And I still didn't want to let go of being a midwife because, as I said before, I'd made that into a core piece of who I was. But I sort of figured maybe I'll do nursing, and that could be my plan B because I don't feel like hairdressing is my plan B. I didn't really, in the heat of depression, I didn't really identify myself as a hairdresser anymore. I'd put so much energy into trying to have a baby and that not working, and I just needed a fresh start. So I jumped in and I started my nursing. So this is the second time I've tried to attempt university. Spent that year really looking after myself. I cleaned up my diet. I started Taekwondo. I booked a holiday with my husband. We just focused on each other. And I started my nursing and I was working in a pharmacy at the same time. And I was so happy. I loved it. I loved my life. I loved nursing. I was being really fueled by this world of, terminology that I'd been listening to and I'd been, glamorizing in my head for the last couple of years. And finally, I was living it. I got my stethoscope and I had like a pinch me moment. I took a picture of myself in my uniform and, I loved it. As part of this self-empowering journey, I started doing acupuncture and I had a really, really amazing experience where I felt very seen and very heard after being in a very clinical environment with my healthcare providers through the IVF and through my GP and all this sort of stuff. I felt for the first time validated and really heard in a lot of my concerns. And she's looking over all of my IVF blood work and she smiled at me and she says, I think I can do it. And she says, I don't really say bold claims like this, but I think we could do it. I think we can get you pregnant naturally. And I sort of laughed and jokes on me. Only three sessions. And I went back to her and I said, I'm pregnant. And I was pregnant. I got pregnant naturally. It was absolutely unreal. I had to stop my nursing because I had a few complications with my pregnancy, which involved like pretty severe pelvic girdle pain. I couldn't walk. I was in crutches. I had like a really sexy like belt that held my pelvis together pretty much. And then towards the end of it, I actually went into a wheelchair because I was using an office chair to wheel around my house because I couldn't stand up. I played a lot of Animal Crossing. This was the time in the pandemic. So, and I had my baby. I had a pretty rough postpartum. I had some hemorrhaging. I had infections. I had retained placenta. I had all the fun stuff. I've tended to gloss over this a little bit, but I am going to mention it here. That was a bit traumatic, especially the infections and the placentas and the internal, a lot of the internal checks and the ultrasounds that I had to have done and stuff. I ended up being medicated and clinically diagnosed with PTSD. And I only mention this now because it became a bit of a barrier for when I was thinking about going back and studying now that I'd had my baby and I still had midwifery, on my brain. And I was like, I'm going to go and do midwifery. It sort of became a bit of a barrier because it got so bad that like I was having like flashbacks and it would be little things like the smell of hand sanitizer, like the hand sanitizer in the hospital, or little things were starting to affect me and bring me back to with PTSD flashbacks. And I was thinking it's not fair to bring this sort of space and this emotional response into another woman's birthing space. So I started questioning, is this something that I'm going to actually be able to do? Plus 9 months of not being able to walk, that carried on through my postpartum quite a lot too. I had to go to a lot of physio. So that year of postpartum, I was doing physio, I was doing counseling, I was doing psychology, I was going to GP visits. Plus, I was learning how to be a mum and I had on my brain, like, yeah, I'm going to go back to midwifery when my son's 9 months old. Joke's on me. That was I tried. I enrolled. I got into my dream school and everything. So that was the third time trying to go to university. And I did a term and I had to pull out because I had a little menti bee. I couldn't do it. It was too much. It was, being, I thought I could do it online. I thought I could make this happen, but obviously I just was not in the mental space for it. So I gave up my place and I just decided, nope, keep focusing on yourself. You'll be able to do this when it's time. It was at this point, I laugh about this because anyone that's a mum would sort of get it. I laugh about this because this was the point as well where my internet algorithm had picked up that I was a new mum and I was researching things like, low tox skincare, low tox. Like I'd gone a little bit into this, into the, fertility, trying to prep your body for fertility. Like, you stop using plastics, you stop using aluminum deodorant, all that sort of stuff. But I got really into it as a mum. I started looking at like low waste, like low tox cleaning product with local farmers markets, everything organic. But my internet algorithm had picked that up and they started recommending me the natural colleges. That was interesting. It flagged into my brain. I just had these amazing experiences with my naturopath and my acupuncturist who, I saw all through my pregnancy as well. And complementary medicine really worked for my body. And I was thinking, hey, maybe this is something I want to do. I started doing a little bit of research. Couldn't really find too much. I live in Queensland, Australia, and there's was sort of only two options available to me, which was Endeavour College or Torrens. And initially I thought I was going to go into Chinese medicine, but through my limited research that I could do, I discovered that naturopathy was going to be cheaper. And I just sort of liked the reviews for, the university I went with a bit more. So I decided I was going to give naturopathy a go. And if I really hated it, I would move over to Chinese medicine. So I enrolled to do the diploma, but just a month before I started, I actually started my Instagram after I had enrolled and I found out I was pregnant naturally again with my second baby. So I deferred, not knowing what my pregnancy was going to look like, which by the way was absolutely incredible. I did yoga through my whole pregnancy. I was walking, I was chasing after my toddler. I think all of that year of really focusing on myself and getting myself well really worked for me. My birth was pretty complication free. I ended up having a cesarean due to all of the stuff that happened last time, and it was very healing actually, and a really great opportunity for me to see and experience that side of childbirth as well. So I always joke if I'm going to have a third one in a couple of years' time, I've got to do it like home water birth so that I've sampled it all, my son had turned one and my deferment period was coming to an end and it was finally time to start my degree. So I did. I started in 2024 at the beginning of the year. And in my first trimester, I decided in my delusion that I was going to start a podcast because I was feeling so amazing and it was so aligned. I had found that tiny little gap in the market, that little niche. It was so difficult for me to find real student experiences on what it was like studying at these institutions. And, I wanted to know things like, is it all BS? What are the job opportunities like? What's it like from people that have gone through the degree? What's the feedback? Is the uni a good uni? Because what are we up to? Five. This is my fifth time trying to go to uni. So, I'd been a bit around the block a little bit. I sort of knew what I liked and what I didn't like in an institution, but I didn't have the connections to actually talk to somebody about it. So I started interviewing students. And I decided I wanted to create a platform and a resource for other people. So here we are. A year later, I'm finishing my first year. I think actually by the time this episode airs, I will have finished my first year and I'll be enrolled in my second year subjects. And I gotta say, it's been amazing. I go to Torrens University and I haven't had any issues with any of the lecturers. I did have one moment where somebody graded my paper wrong, but it was a technical difficulty and it took absolutely no effort to get my grade fixed up. So absolutely fine. It's been very prompt, very quick messaging. I've loved the content. I think this is one of those degrees where you're either going to realize very quickly you're exactly where you're supposed to be and it's really reaffirming for you, like, yes, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Or you'll realize very quickly, nope, this is not for me. There's way more science than I thought. It's not all linen and beige activewear. It's hardcore. I've really loved it. And I have the ability now to look at all of the things in my past that I initially saw as obstacles to study, and, you know, just the things that were part of my journey, you know, that at some point in my life caused me a lot of stress. But I really have the ability now to look back on it and go, yeah, that's all led me right here to be this very particular naturopath, somebody that is incredibly interested in women's health, who has a deep personal understanding of what it's like to go through fertility treatments, who is incredibly passionate about health literacy, especially in young women, when honestly, I'm beginning to come of the opinion that, like, it doesn't take much for things to go wrong. Because you're at such an integral point of your life where hormonal and reproductive health is like a sixth vital sign, and our lifestyles don't exactly support optimal health. I've had all these really incredible experiences with complementary and alternative medicine that I really just want to do it justice as well and reach more people. And I think that, combined with my knowledge of filmmaking and talking to people and podcasting and all this fun stuff that, you know, as you've just discovered with me along the way, it's going to be really exciting what happens in the future. This has been a bit of a different episode than we're all used to, but honestly, I appreciate it if you've made it this far. I still feel a little bit too early in the degree to give a full comprehensive overview of how it's all gone. So I think you're just going to have to tune in for next year to hear about what it's like. I'll be midway through the degree by then, and I'll also be able to give you a bit more of an idea of what works in terms of, like, study tips and tricks by then. I think it's just a bit too much for this episode, so I'll save that for next year. And as for the future of this podcast, I hope that we're still going. I'd love to make it to 2 or 3 years. And it's going to be super interesting to see where I end up. You know, right now I'm living at home in a unit under my mum's house. I'm not currently making any money. And it's going to be really, I'm sitting at about 1,300 of you amazing followers on Instagram. So it's going to be really, really cool to look back and see how far we go in a year. Thank you for listening. Please feel free to reach out to me on any of my socials. You can find me at www.danaloradnaturopathy.com. I'll link it in the description, as I do in every episode. And that's where you can find me if you decide that you would love to be on my podcast. Thanks for sticking around, and cheers to a year, guys. All right, bye.